with all that's been going on, you know what? I'm not shaken. Amen. But I'm stirred. James of James Bond phrase. I'm not shaken, but I'm stirred. Amen. Amen. We've been doing this month, our theme has been on the letters to the churches. And we're continuing that this morning with an overview on the book of Hebrews. And our main theme verse was from Revelation 2:11. Everyone got an ear?
Yes.
All right, the Spirit is saying we need to use it.
Yes,
to listen. Amen. You know, sometimes we get so impatient. Today I'm glad we're not streaming because I can say stuff that I can't say when it's going over the internet. So we're not streaming right away. We're going to edit it and put it out later. And it's funny, I have a guy I'm working with at work, and he doesn't ever like to be wrong. You know,
okay.
He doesn't like to be wrong. I've come to that understanding. So he has a certain thing about him when he asks you a question. So he asked me a question, it was just me and him, and I started to give him the explanation. So I got about three words out when he realized from what I was about to say what the answer was. So he said, I get it. He didn't want to hear what the answer was because he realized that his question was a bit foolish. And he didn't want me to give the full explanation. And I realized, where have I heard that before? And I realized it was him, that's his way. As soon as he asks a question, before you finish the answer, I get it. He doesn't really want to hear because, you know, but the Bible is telling us today that we need to listen. You know, a lot of us actually, we laugh, but we may be doing that to God. As soon as he starts to talk to us, I get it. And we really have to listen fully to what the Spirit is saying to us. You know, because we don't want to actually be told the truth. He didn't want to hear the full explanation because his question actually was kind of foolish, and as soon as I said three words, the answer became obvious. So he didn't even really want to hear the rest of it. And I hope that we are not in that same position.
Right.
That as soon as we think we know the answer, we're telling God, I get it. But we need to, as the scripture says here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, we will be doing the last lesson will be on the book of Revelation, where there are seven lessons or seven letters to each church. And they all have a similar phrasing. They start with a commendation and they end up with a promise. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Isn't that something? So we studied the book of Romans, or an overview of the book of Romans. You can't really cover any of these books in one lesson, but it's just an overview. And in Bible study, we will go back. And we did the book of Ephesians, and now we're going to cover the book of Hebrews. And if we have time, book of Galatians and the letters in Revelation. Now, the book of Hebrews is all about the priesthood, essentially, of Jesus Christ, and how he now has become our advocate. Amen. You know, can anyone think of some famous lawyers? That's probably the one that comes to mind because he got OJ off, right? If it does not fit, you can't convict, or something like that. But the truth is, we did it. We did it. But the great thing is that we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ the Lord. And again, in Hebrews has some of my favorite scriptures, and this is one of them. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering, say it, one offering, he hath perfected forever. How long is forever? Forever. How long is that? It's a good thing it's not like, you know, my car insurance or my house insurance, because that's 1 year, then you have to come up with some more money. You have to come up with some more. But he has paid the price forever. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. But there is a part that we have to do. And it ends up, it says, them that are sanctified. So it's up to us to carry out sanctification, which is simply separation. If we are separated, then the offering stands forever. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? I know I say it so many times, but if we could ever get that in our spirit, amen. Then the other famous scripture in Hebrews 4:16, we could come boldly. Not hesitantly, not scared. What? Well, will God answer me? But we would come on boldly to a throne of grace. Amen. So the book of Hebrews is really trying to explain how the priesthood, the old priesthood, was replaced by the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And how he is the final priest. Amen. And as I say it every week, that's why you don't have to bring any turtle doves and grain offering and meat offering. And I don't have to stand up here with a butcher knife. Amen. I wouldn't want to do that. Amen. But the Bible says that by one offering, that's why we know that the veil in the temple, what happened when he said it's finished? Ripped in two, from the top to the bottom. Amen. Top to the bottom. Not from the bottom up. Someone would have said someone at the bottom ripped it. But it started from the top down. And that veil, they say, was about 70 feet high. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are separated. Amen. When we understand how we are to be separate, I was teaching the PI class yesterday, and I was telling them a little bit about my job. My new job is for DuPont, and at this particular place they make probiotic cultures. That means the stuff that goes in yogurts and other things. So it's a food product. So in the actual place where the cultures are made, before you can get in there, you have to prepare. You can't just walk in there from off the street. I have to put on a whole complete new garment in white. And then when I go in there, I have to put on a face mask. Then I have to put on some glasses. Then I have to put on a hairnet. Then when I go in there, before I go in there, there's a place where you have to wash. You have to put your shoes on this thing that washes your feet. And then I have to put my hands in this thing that washes my hands. And then I have to air dry under this blue ultraviolet. This is just because it's food. To understand that we come before the presence of God and we feel we can just walk in. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Do you understand that we make a big fuss about consecrating ourselves? The FDA won't allow them to ship anything if all of these procedures are not met. You can't just walk into the food preparation place.
That's right.
Because if one little thing from you fell in there, or hair, or that could be millions of dollars. So you have to put on all this preparation before you can come before the food. Think about what we should do before we come before the Lord. Amen. If we were prepared, if we were put on that garment of praise, put down the garment of heaviness. Amen. And come before his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
You see, it doesn't matter how much money you have or what your day has been like. You can always give thanks. You don't have to have money to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Amen. So I hate going to the food place because it takes me 10 minutes to just get in there. Even if I just want to talk to someone for a minute. You don't go in there like that. And they have rules. You'll get fired if you do that. And yet, we don't want to do anything to be separated and prepared for the Lord. See, the high priest had to go through a ritual like that in the Old Testament before he could present himself, or any of the priests actually. Remember, after they passed the burnt offering, the brass offering, what was the next thing that the priest came to before they went into the holy place? The laver, where they had to wash, and they had to have the priestly garments. We read about how God commanded Moses and told him exactly all the garments the priest should have, and that they were to be holy. Nobody else could touch them because they were not prepared. After washing my hands, there's another place which is even more secure, where you have to, what they call double gown. Putting one was not enough, you have to put on a second one. Then you have to put on these special gloves, even if you have washed your hands. And they have metal detectors. You have to wear special earplugs that don't have metal in case they fall in anything, because they have metal detectors that scan everything to make sure that it is pure. You know, God is going to be scanning us to make sure we don't bring anything that is impure into His presence. Amen. So Hebrews 10:14 applies to us, but only if we have done our part. If we have separated ourselves, if we've prepared ourselves to come before Him. And that's all He requires of us. You know, if the FDA can be so strict that you can't go into this place unless you have prepared, imagine us before a holy God. See, the high priest knew that if he wasn't prepared, he could die. That probably made him very, very careful. The week before the Day of Atonement, he would hide himself so that no one could touch him for 7 days before the Day of Atonement. Because if he did become defiled, he could not officiate as high priest. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah. We have a high priest. The Bible says, who knew no sin, who was perfect and holy, and could go and appear on our behalf. Now, at the beginning of the Day of Atonement, before the high priest could do anything for the people, you know what he had to do? He had to take care of his own sin. The Bible said the first step on the Day of Atonement was he had to sacrifice a bull for his own sin. Before he could start the proper ceremony with the two goats, he had to first take care of his own sin. But our high priest, Jesus Christ, did not have to do any of that. The Bible said he who knew no sin was made sin. Hallelujah. And so this verse is one for you to meditate on this week. For by one offering, I'm perfected. I'm being made holy. All I have to do is separate myself from things that defile. And God counts me, declares me as perfect before Him, even though I may not be. But as long as I have separated, as long as I've said this every Sunday, I will say this. Abraham, Genesis 17, walk before me and be thou perfect. It wasn't telling Abraham, you make yourself perfect. It was, Abraham, you start your journey and I declare you perfect. I declare you perfect because it is a walk of faith. Amen. And so even if in our flesh we are not perfect, God calls those things, it says in Romans 8, that are not as though they be, as long as we have taken that step. Amen. I'm telling you, I say it to you because I think it's so hard for us to accept something that is free. What's the catch? Come on now. Especially when it's so good. It's too good to be true. You know? It's too good. I saw one time they did an experiment. They had this booth, and they had free, and they had a big bowl with money in it. And people would come and look, and then look around, and walk off. Very few people actually took it. You know what? It's too good to be true. Who's giving away money? But I tell you, God is giving away something much more than that. Eternal life. Eternal life. So Hebrews is all about the transition, and the writer of Hebrews, some believe it was Paul, some believe it was Apollos, is trying to show the transition from the priesthood in the Old Testament to our high priest. Webster's definition was one authorized to perform the sacred rites of religion, especially as a mediator, a go-between. Aren't you glad you don't have to come to me in a confessional and I have to sit there and slide a little window? And you start telling me all your troubles?
That's right.
I'm so glad that you don't have to do that. I got my own. It'd be so depressing, wouldn't it? I mean, I guess those Catholic priests are trained to handle that, to be hearing all of this stuff. Boy, you come out and be like, oh my goodness. But now we can come boldly to a throne of grace. You don't have to tell me anything. Amen, because you have one now who is the mediator. In the Old Testament, though, everything almost was done through the priest. You had to bring it to the mediator who was separated unto God. And he would kill the sacrifice. He would do it on your behalf. He became the mediator. Amen. Numbers 3:6. Not everybody could be a high priest. Not everyone could be a priest. You had to be of the tribe of Levi. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. They were chosen and separated out to be the priests for the nation of Israel. That means they didn't do the things everybody else was doing. There were certain things they couldn't do. They couldn't touch dead animals. They couldn't go by and marry anyone they wanted to. There were rules on even that, because they had to be separated. The Bible says that we are a peculiar people. We've got to be different. We've got to be a royal priesthood. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle. They were responsible for all of the instruments, the brass instruments, the forks and the shovels that cleaned off the brazen altar. They were responsible for the golden instruments. They were responsible, most of all, for keeping the candles lit. Did you know that there were two things that should never go out?
Yes.
The brazen altar, the fire on the brazen altar was never to go out. Neither was the candlestick. They had to supply it with oil day and night, 24 hours. Somebody had to make sure that the light never went out. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons, and they are holy, that means completely given unto him out of the children of Israel. That means they were God's personal representatives. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait or minister on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. You didn't want to try and usurp the priest's office if you weren't chosen, because you would be put to death. Today, if I go in the wrong place, I must get fired. I won't be put to death. But they have all these rules that you have to obey before you can approach just some food, some bacteria, in other words. That's what it is. The cultures are what they call the good bacteria. And they make sure that you have to clean yourself. You have to put on special clothing. And that clothing, they supply. The company supplies the clothing, and you can't take that clothing outside the plant. When you go in, you have to change it to their clothing, and then even that's not enough. You have to put on this white disposable bodysuit. In fact, I brought one. I forgot to bring it up here to show you what it looks like. I think it's either at the back there or in there, or in the room here. And it's a complete covering. There's no gaps in it. You can't even put your hands in your pockets. It's got to cover you completely. You see, the Holy Spirit does that for us,
amen,
so that we can come before His presence. It's probably in there if you don't see it. Do you see it? Yeah, it's in there. It's white. The Holy Spirit today is what covers us, that enables us to come before the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, without His Spirit, we are what?
Not here.
Sorry, no, in the room. That
room.
We're none of His. Amen. And it is the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said no man hath seen God at any time. But we have been revealed. How?
Through His Spirit.
It's only through His Spirit that we can come before His presence. Hallelujah. That's it. You could bring it. That's what I have to put on if I want to go anywhere near any of the actual live food. I have to put on a complete bodysuit like this with a zip, and it goes all the way up to my all the way up to my neck, and then I have to put on a hairnet. If I have a beard, I have to put on a beard net. I have to put on a mask, and I have to put on glasses, and I have to put on gloves.
Okay.
That's what I have to do, prepare myself just to go before some food. Amen. What have we done this morning to prepare ourselves to come so glad that we had prayer this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But when we come, we should at least bring some thanksgiving.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I had a terrible week. Lord, I lost my job, but you got a better one. Lord, I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't have money to keep the gas on, but Lord, I thank you. I'm still alive. I'm in the land of the living. We should clothe ourselves with a garment of praise. That enables us to at least start the first step forward. Amen. And thou shalt appoint Aaron, verse 10, and his sons, and they shall wait, that means minister, on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. No one could just run into the tabernacle and think they were going to be okay. There was a king that did that and got in great trouble. In fact, he got a disease and he later died. And there was another king that tried to officiate in the priest's office and in the end was totally rejected by God. Who was that?
Saul.
As I've said so many times, that's one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. Who are you going to appeal to when God says, don't pray for him? When God says, I've rejected you. What a sad story. Amen. When you get to that place when God says, Samuel, don't pray for him anymore. I'm not going to listen. But you know, we're not at that place because we have a high priest and an advocate. Amen. See, there was a reason for the priesthood, and that's what Hebrews text starts to explain to us. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. See, because our God is holy, because he is perfect, because he's separated, we couldn't come before him. So God chose a representative who could maintain a certain state of purity and separation that at least through a blood covering could approach him. And so that's why the priesthood was there. The Bible says, so that they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And of course, of the seven pieces of furniture that was in the tabernacle, the first thing that you would come to was the brazen altar.
Yes.
And of course, brass symbolizes that metal, represents judgment. Because the sacrifice was judged on the brazen altar instead of us, or instead of the supplicant. Whoever brought the animal, its blood was shed as an atonement. That's what the Bible says in Leviticus, that there was an actual, literal reason for a blood sacrifice. I've taught that before. The Bible says in Leviticus, I believe 17, that I've given you the blood as an atonement on the altar. But that word, Hebrew word atonement, kafar, means covering. So the blood was a covering for the soul. Amen. And the reason why is because when man sinned, we lost our covering. Amen. That's why they realized that they were naked. They were physically naked before, but they were covered with the Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory. But when they sinned, what God told them in Genesis, that the day thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. The death process began, but immediately God's Spirit covering that made them sons of God went away immediately. So God gave a temporary covering. Remember what happened when Adam and Eve were hiding? The Bible said that God made, in Hebrew, asa means out of something existing, coats of skins. It doesn't say it explicitly, but it implies that there was an animal that died. The coats of skin covered the body, but it was the blood that covered the soul. The fig leaves only covered the outside, but it did nothing for their guilt, or else they would not have been hiding. See, because their fig leaves did not have a blood sacrifice. So God had to sacrifice himself, in other words, a covering for Adam and Eve. But it was only temporary, because as Hebrews then goes on to explain, the blood of bulls and goats could not permanently do it. They were only a temporary substitute. Amen. So let's look at the first mention of the word priest in the Bible. It's in Genesis. And it's with this strange character that Hebrews also mentions in Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Very strange thing. Abraham is returning from rescuing Lot and all of Lot's belongings, and also the kings of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he comes and meets this person just out of nowhere. The Bible doesn't give an explanation. It just says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Of course, if you were Hebrew, you would have some understanding due to the meaning of the name. Melech in Hebrew means king, and Zedek means righteousness. So his very name means king of righteousness. And of course, Salem is from the Hebrew shalom, which means peace. So we see here this character giving Abraham communion. He brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. Very strange. Of course, you know what Jesus said in John, I think, 8:44, before Abraham was. I am. So I have no doubt Abraham met someone who Hebrews goes on to say had neither father nor mother, nor beginning of days, nor end of life. Not too many people fit that description. Amen. And so Melchizedek, he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. This is the first mention of the word priest. And we see, I believe, Jesus in what's called a theophany, doing and acting symbolically as priest. He gave him what? Bread and wine. Yes. And accepted of Abraham a sacrifice, a gift, tithes. As I said, Melech in Hebrew means king. So if you were to get a Hebrew Bible where we have 1 and 2 Kings, it'll say Melech. 1 and 2 Melech. And Sefer, the word for book in Hebrew is Sefer, and it's Melechim, the plural is kings. Melech is singular. And so his very name would be a blasphemy if it was applied to anybody else but God. Because who can be king of righteousness? Could I call myself king of righteousness? No. So this person's very name was king of righteousness, king of peace. And of course in Isaiah it's revealed, it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the same little baby, the Prince of Peace. And he goes on to illustrate. So we see Melchizedek, this character, laying his hands on Abraham and blessing him. And Hebrews begins to explain and gives revelation that's not in the Old Testament. It says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Abraham paid tithes. So, this is not a tithe lesson, but when Abraham did that, was the law given yet? No. So, people who say, well, tithing was the law, are wrong. Abraham was tithing and there was no law. Right? So, tithing didn't disappear because the law, parts of the law, the ceremonial part, because tithing was before the law. Just a little nugget there. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. And then it starts to give the interpretation of his name. First being by interpretation, King of Righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth, this is Jesus. Paul, saying, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And here's the part that's for me and you. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, I think God gives us trials and tribulations so that we get tired of this earth. Because the truth is, if everything was going swimmingly and perfectly, we might start to enjoy it. Come on now. You know, we might start to enjoy it. I mean, if everything was just going perfect in your life, you had a bank account, you had vacations to wherever, and everything was just going perfect. What reason would you have for God? You know, I think God allows some uncomfortableness in our life because he's stirring up the nest so that we can learn to fly. That's what they say an eagle does, right? They build the nest first with a lot of thorns and thistles right at the bottom. Then they start putting softer things and softer things, and they cover that up. But after a few months and the eaglet has hatched and it's time for that eaglet, because the eaglet will just sit there and have the mother just keep, and the father just keep bringing food. I mean, what's wrong with that? Right? Just be comfortable. Let them keep feeding you. You don't need to fly. But after a while, the parents kind of decide, you know, I think this bird is big enough. It's time for it to fly. So you know what they do? They start tearing up the nest. And all the prickles and the thorns and stuff start to come to the bottom, and the eagle says, you know what, I think I need to get out of here. I think God does that to us. Because otherwise, this verse might not be fulfilled. Shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. How are you going to love his appearing if you're loving the world? The Bible says you can't be friends with the world or love the world and love God at the same time. You've got to hate the world and say, I'm sick of this place. I'm tired of what I'm going through. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I want to confess it's taken me a long time, but I think I'm nearly there. There is nothing I want down here now. Really, nothing. Amen. Come on.
About that part that say love his appearing. I know I don't have time to give the testimony, but on Monday at 6:05, there was a figure standing on the clouds at Miller Parkway, and I told you about it.
Yeah, I told them you figure. Go ahead, you tell them what you saw.
Well, on Monday, it was cloudy outside because it was about to rain, and so as I was driving down 35th Street, I reached 35th and I think it's Greenfield. I was going to turn from 35th onto Greenfield. And as I turned off of 35th onto Greenfield, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, look. And when he said, look, I just looked at the time. So I know it was 6:05. And when I looked at the time, the Lord said, no, look up. And when I looked up, the first thing I saw was three clouds. And they all was black. But I saw this figure standing on the cloud. And I just began to talk to the Lord because I said, Lord, somebody going to think I'm crazy. And I said, I don't know what you want me to do with this. I said, but I see something standing on the cloud. I said, is it a man? And when I said, is it a man, it moved. And when it moved, I really began to shake because I couldn't hardly drive. I kept one eye on the figure, and I kept one eye on the traffic. And I kept 1 foot on the brake, and I kept 1 foot on the gas. And I was just totally in another world. And I just continued to talk to God like, Lord, there's a man standing on the cloud. What do you want me to do with this? What is this, Lord? Am I crazy? Somebody's going to think I'm crazy. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to make it clear to you. And he said, I'm going to make it clear to you. I was like, Lord, come make it clear to me. I said, it's cloudy outside. He said, I'm going to make it clear to you. And as I continued to drive, I know it was 13 blocks. I looked at him so clear. And it was cloudy. That's the thing. It was so cloudy, but I can see him so clear. I saw him from 35th Street, and he was standing up on the cloud. And when I reached Kentucky Fried Chicken on 35th Street in Miller Parkway, I forgot I was driving, so my truck hit brakes by itself. I almost hit somebody, but the truck got close enough up on somebody where it hit the brakes, and when it hit the brakes, it shook me up. And I said to myself, now I'm going to really see if this is for real. So
so I took my shades off and I let the window down and I could hear that. And I shook my leaf on the tree because I was in a state of shock and I just began to tell people like, look, do anybody see the man that's standing on the cloud? And people just began to blow at me and I said, Lord, I just don't know what you want me to do with this. And all of a sudden, everything just went quiet and it disappeared. And the Lord didn't speak to me until I got all the way back home. And when I put the key in the door, I was still puzzled like, Lord, this. First of all, when I got back in the car from getting the chicken, let me tell you, the devil came. He came right and he spoke to me. He said, you didn't see no man standing on no cloud. And I began to question it. I said, now, am I crazy or did I really see a man standing on the cloud or is the devil a liar? So I began to talk to myself inside and then I opened my mouth and I said, devil, you a liar. I said, I did see a man standing on the cloud. And so I puzzled myself until I got home and put the key in the door. And as I opened the door, the Lord spoke to me. He said, call somebody. And I said, call somebody, okay? I said, call. Who am I going to call? I called my partner at the daycare. I called her and I said, what are you doing? She said, nothing. I said, there's a man standing on the cloud at Miller Parkway. She said, what? And I said, yes. I said, somebody's going to think I'm crazy. And she said, no, you're not. She said, Jesus coming. And she just went to hollering and screaming on the phone. And as I got off the phone with her, the Lord said, call somebody else. And as I got ready to call somebody else, my son came in the house. And he said, what's wrong? I said, there's a man standing on the cloud at Miller Parkway. And right away, he said, I believe you. And I said, you do? And he said, yes. And the Lord spoke to me again. He said, call somebody else. But this time he said, wait. He said, see who's going to believe you and see who's not going to believe you. And I was like, Lord, you already know who's going to believe me and who's not going to believe me. Why am I going to say that? So the next person I called, they said, you crazy. They said, you crazy. They said, ain't no man. They said, ain't nothing but one man up in the sky. In the cloud, they said, ain't nothing but God. I said, well, he's standing on the cloud over in Miller Parkway if you want to go see him. They said, no, they said, you crazy. I said, well, all I can do is just tell you what the Lord says. So out of the 25 people that I called, 5 people, they said, no. They said, there's no man standing at Miller Parkway. And so it puzzled my son because the whole night he continued to call me. And it was so amazing because I was like, this is crazy. My son don't call me like this. He called me all night. And the very next morning when I woke up, he called me and he said, can I be baptized? I said, what? He said, can I be baptized? I said, yes, you can be baptized. He said, Mama, he said, tell the pastor. I want to be baptized, but he's shy. He want to be baptized where there ain't a lot of people around me because he's shy. But I'm just giving God the praise. Whatever God's going to do, I just want to do it. I just want to put somebody's name say on me.
Amen. 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 He's coming back on a cloudy day. Well, you know, the Bible says that there would be a sign. There would be a sign at his coming. The first sign was the star in the east. In Zechariah, it says that when they see the sign of the Son of Man, in Zechariah 12, there shall be mourning. And that's when Israel will realize who it was that they crucified. But his first sign, that's an awesome testimony. The first sign of a priest was this character of Melchizedek. Amen. King of righteousness. And we see that we are promised a crown of righteousness. Now, in Hebrews, it goes on to say, as I said, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now, who can that be? Only God himself. As Jesus said when the priest said, look, you're not even 50 years old. This is before Abraham was. I am. I am. Amen. You know, the God we serve wasn't invented lately. No, some religions were invented lately. You know what I mean? The Muslim faith is only since 612 AD. But the God we serve is from eternity past to eternity future. And that's why Isaiah 96 says he is the everlasting Father. The other title for him, our high priest, was King of Salem, King of Peace, in other words. Hebrews 7:2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation, King of Righteousness, and after that also King of Salem. That's where we get the word Jerusalem. Psalm 76, verse 1, in Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem is also his tabernacle, his dwelling place in Zion. Amen. So this first mention of priest turned out to be an incarnation. And he blessed Abraham personally. And that's why Jesus was able to say to the Pharisees before Abraham was, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Amen. Hallelujah. Rejoiced to see my day. Peacemaker. Hebrews 7:2 says that he's called King of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says he's the Prince of Peace. Without father and mother, without descent, having beginning of days or end of life, but made, and here's the clue, made like unto what? Son of God. There's our clue. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. What it's saying is, the writer of Hebrews is trying to establish the new priesthood, and he's showing that this priesthood that we are under supersedes the priesthood under the law, the Aaronic priesthood, because what he's saying that Abraham, long time before his great-great-great-grandson Levi was born, paid tithes to this priesthood that was different, that was not of the tribe of Levi. And he's saying symbolically then, Levi, the Levites paid tithes because they were still in the seed, so to speak, of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, that means Melchizedek or Abraham paid tithes and blessed them that had the promises. And without all contradiction, he's saying this proves that this person was greater than Abraham. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So if Abraham was being blessed by this person, that means this person was greater than Abraham.
Yes, Lord.
Do you remember what they asked Jesus? Art thou greater than our father Abraham? The answer is yes. Because he was the one that was giving the blessing. Amen. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes. He was explaining the priesthood, the people who become high priests, eventually, just like in Genesis 6, it always ends up, and he died. He lived 930 years, and he died. He lived 969 years, and he died. He lived 777 years, Lamech, and he died. Here, all men die. But there, he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Last week, we celebrated that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That's what he told Martha. You know who I am? I am the resurrection and the life. We have a high priest. He's not a dead high priest. But he ever liveth, the Bible says. To do what? To make intercession. That's why I am forgiven, because my high priest is still in there. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about, that he entered in, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, to make intercession. It's not that I wasn't guilty, it's not that you're not guilty, but we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ the Lord. See, whichever priest you go to here, eventually he's going to die. That's why every now and then the Catholic Church has to have a new conclave where all the cardinals get together, because their high priest has died. But our high priest died and rose again. Never to die again. The clue who this Melchizedek was, it says, made like unto his priesthood is after the priesthood of Melchizedek. Which priest can you call king of righteousness or king of peace? No matter how good, no human being could have that title. You see, this person was made like unto a son of God. And in the verse that gives the genealogy of Jesus Christ in reverse order in Luke, I think it's Luke 3, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. You know what makes us a son of God? When we put back on that covering, then we can come back into his presence. When we have been washed by his blood, that's what Hebrews is trying to tell us, that we can come in when we have put on the heavenly garments, which makes us a son of God. See, the revelation was given to Peter when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, some think you're the prophet Elijah. That was prophesied. Some think you're another prophet. Some think you're just a good man. But he wasn't going to let Peter get away with that. He's asking us today personally, who do you think I am? Because if you really, really think I am the Son of God, then certainly he would act appropriately, wouldn't he? We come running to the throne of grace. Amen. Because what you believe is laid out in how you act. Isn't that right? As I've said many times, if I've hidden $100 bill under this potted plant, and I told you it was there and you believed me, and I said it was free to the first one who got it, you might all trip over coming and getting it. If you believe me. If you don't believe me, you'll just sit there. So what we believe is manifested in how we act. If we truly believe that Jesus came and died and rose again, we're going to act like we believe it, that so symbolically he's got $100 bill. We're going to run come running. Simon Peter, when he was put on the spot, finally said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why when Jesus said, you know, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and 60 of his 72 disciples went away, 12 of them stayed. But Jesus did not explain anything. He just said, well, you guys going to leave too? He said, whither shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. They knew and they acted on their belief that this was the Son of God. And nothing that they couldn't understand was going to change that. Yes, there will be things in our lives that we can't understand, but you got to hold on to your faith. As to Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. Are you persuaded?
Yes, Lord.
Because if you are persuaded, nothing is going to move you. You may not understand what you're going through. You may not make sense of it. But when you're asked, are you going to go to? Whither shall we go? Thou hast the words of God. So Hebrews is explaining the priesthood, that this priesthood was superior to any other. In fact, it starts off in Hebrews 1 saying that everything was under his feet.
Yes.
That at no time did he ever allow the angels to call him Father. That just tells you, because he's given us the opportunity to call him Father, Abba. Yes. And I said before that the Lord's Prayer is the kind of prayer you will not find in the Old Testament. A lot of people criticize the Lord's Prayer because it doesn't have the word Jesus in it. And they say it's an Old Testament prayer. I say they're completely wrong. Because no one in the Old Testament would ever have said, our Father. They wouldn't have dared say that. But Jesus gave them the right to say, our Father. So we have the right to call him Father, to say Abba, to say Daddy. I'm going to run through some of this. Now we see something pretty interesting happen, because Melchizedek gave Abraham bread and wine. It's funny, because the night Jesus was going to be arrested, he gave his disciples bread and wine. And he told them something. He said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until we drink it anew.
Hallelujah!
That's a promise to me and you.
There you go.
that we're going to be able to sit at the marriage table. That we're going to be counted worthy to be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will that be something to know you've made it? Can you just, for a moment, believe, see in your mind's eye, you being seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb? And to know this is finished? That you're done with all this fussing and all the trials and temptations? Won't that be something? Even so, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, I am tired of this one. There's nothing here I want, really. Nothing I want. It's taken me a while. I admit it. There were times, no, Lord, don't come yet. I want to do this. I want to get married. I want to do this. I want to change. But the Lord has finally stirred up the nest so much now, I just want to get out. I am not comfortable. You know, you go into a workplace and all you hear is filth and foul and cussing, and it just makes your skin crawl. You know, you look everywhere and you see just some terrible, awful things. I heard about this little boy who the parents killed him and how they had mistreated him so horribly. You just want, Lord, why don't you just come and fix it? I'm tired of this, Lord. I believe that God is making our nest uncomfortable because He wants us to look up. Because our redemption is drawing near. This is not a time to give up and to say, well, they've been talking about His coming since I was born. If you do that, all you're doing is fulfilling Scripture. Because Peter said in the latter times, exactly what people are saying. They will say, hey, we've been hearing about His coming since my granddaddy died and He hasn't come. At such a time as ye think not, the Lord Himself, not another shall descend from heaven with a shout from the voice of the archangel. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm waiting for. But God was prefiguring the priesthood, the final priesthood, the priesthood which was not based upon works, but was based upon who that person was. And He brought forth bread and wine, and He was the priest of the Most High God, and He blessed him. Said, blessed be Abraham. Boy, imagine if God says you're blessed. I told you my story that I've held on to. When I was 8 years old, we were coming home from church one night, and for no reason, no good reason, my mother just turned around in the car, was in the back, and she pointed at me, and she said, you're blessed and shall be blessed. And I've lived on that word for the next 50-something years. I just, thank you, Lord. It's nothing that I have done. It's God's sovereign grace and mercy. But it is up to me to respond to it. You know, last week there was a young man, a 24-year-old young man, and he showed up to claim the $724 million. But that ticket had been called some weeks before, right? So he was walking around, I assume, in a safe somewhere with a ticket worth $724 million. Now, he could have that money, but until he showed up, it didn't mean anything. See, God can give you all the blessings and promises you in His storehouse, but until you show up and claim it and say, it's for me, Lord, I accept it. This is my name. I want that ticket. It doesn't matter how much money. He was walking around for weeks. He hadn't claimed it. But finally, to get use of it, to actually experience the blessings, under Wisconsin law, you have to actually show up in person. And he showed up in person. And they had a big fake check for, I think, after taxes, $400-something million. Think you could be okay with that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord.
But of course, you know, he may think that brings happiness, but think about what he's going to have to do now. He can't no longer sleep in his own house. He's going to have to hire protection. He can't trust anyone around him because, hey, cousin, I haven't seen you in a long time. I mean, think about how his life is going to change. And he might think it brings happiness, but now it's going to bring a lot of worry. And why are you looking at me like that for? But the blessings of God, the Bible says about the blessings of God that they are what? are rich. And they added
no sorrow.
When Melchizedek laid his hands upon Abraham, something marvelous happened. He said, listen, I'm going to fulfill the promise I made to you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. And through your obedience, through your seed, all the nations of... When we obey God, it doesn't just bless us. It can bless all kinds of people around us. Because God's blessings usually are not just to stay in us, but as I have, Jesus said, freely give. Right? As you, then you receive them, freely give. That's what we're called to do. So when he blessed Abraham, it wasn't just for Abraham, it was going to continue throughout all of creation. So the priest, Hebrews explaining, was set up as an intercessor, because we no longer could come before God personally. I can't go into the food section, just walk off the street. If I'm going to do that, I have to put on all this stuff and be washed and cleaned and whatever before I can go in there. So the priest was chosen as the intercessor. You know, at first everybody wanted to say, who are you, Moses? God speaks to me just as he speaks to you. But then God really showed up. And there was a whole bunch of thunderings and lightnings and fire and earthquake. And they said, okay, we get it. Tell me what, Moses. You go on up there. We'll wait right here till you come back. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it. They were moved. Okay. Go on, Moses. You do it for us. It's okay. I don't think I want to speak to God today quite yet. And they stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. God showed them that they weren't ready yet. They were not prepared. Even though when they came up to Sinai, God told them it would take 3 days. They had to take 3 days. They had to prepare. And on the 49th day, on the day of Pentecost, so to speak, the next day, the 50th day, Moses went up and spoke with God. Now, there were priestly garments that the priest had to wear.
Yes.
As I said, I have to put on that stuff. Now, here's the thing. Do you know who pays for this? Not me. It's free. Therefore, I have no excuse. You mean you went in there and we provided the garments and you think you can still walk in there? No. Jesus told a parable of a wedding, right?
Yes.
In those days, as I've said before, when you had a wedding, you provided all of the garments. Today, if you stand up at a wedding, you usually go out and pay your own tux, right? And you pay your own. But in those days, when you had a wedding, the person who threw the wedding had to prepare the garments, so it was free. So you had no excuse. Well, I can't come because I can't afford it. But yet Jesus told the parable of the man who was in the wedding feast, and he did not have the garment. That's an immediate firing offense at DuPont. If they catch you in there without the stuff, there's no like second chance, because it's so right at the top of their priority. There is no chance you're going to get to heaven without the wedding garment. God didn't just say, okay, I choose you as priest, now you can walk in there. No, you're chosen as priest, but there's still more for you to do. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod that was like a folded pocket, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. They shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Remember when I did the teaching on the colors?
Yes.
What does blue represent?
Grace.
Grace. And they shall, that's why when Ezekiel saw the throne, it was sapphire. What color is sapphire? Blue. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. You see, we have to be dressed for duty. We have to be dressed for duty. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on You see, the thing now, the breastplate has changed. In the Old Testament, what was it called? What was the breastplate called? Yes, but it was had another name. The breastplate of judgment. In the New Testament, because of Christ's death, it's now become what? The breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Peace.
Peace on earth. Goodwill to all men.
Yes, Lord.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then protect your head. Protect your mind. Put on the helmet of salvation. That's the word. That's God's salvation plan. And then if you really actually want to fight instead of just being running away, you got to take the sword of the Spirit. My grandson brought a sword yesterday, and they were flinging that thing all over the place. Got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is
the Word of God.
It is written. Anytime the devil comes across your path, you got to whip out a word and tell him, it is written. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling lonely, you take out that word from Romans that says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? You know, you have to have a word to fight the devil, and it can't be your words. Amen. You need to have that word. So in the Old Testament, it was called the breastplate of judgment because it had the names engraved on each of the 12 stones of the 12 tribes. And inside the pocket were two special stones called the Urim and the Thummim, which were judgment or judgment and curses were the two names. And when it says inquired of the Lord, what usually happened, the priest would put his hand in the pocket, and whichever stone he came out. Of course, the Jews say that they glowed. Whichever one the answer was, glowed. But today, it's not because of judgment, but it's because of his righteousness. Amen. I'm skipping through this because we're almost out of time. But he goes and starts to give detailed instructions how to make this breastplate. And there were 12 stones in there. Now the interesting thing is that in Ezekiel where it describes Satan and his makeup, he's only got 9 stones. He's missing some.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what his problem is. He's missing some stones.
Yeah,
amen. He's only got 9 of the 12 stones. It's the same 12 stones, but he's missing 3 of them. Amen. There's probably something in there. Now, the role of the priest was to bear, that means carry the names of the tribe before God. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. When he goeth into the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. You know what chokes me up? It's because I see Jesus bearing our names, making intercession for you and me. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. Those are the two stones that reveal the will. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart. You see, Aaron bore the judgment. Jesus bore the judgment. So now it's not anymore the breastplate of judgment. It's become the breastplate of his righteousness. That's why we now put on the breastplate of his righteousness. If you could stand before me, we won't quite finish this. And Aaron, his real role was on the Day of Atonement to make an atonement. The golden altar, which was before the last veil, was a place where 364 days of the year incense was burned. But only on the Day of Atonement was blood put on the golden altar. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering. This is the clue, actually, to tell us what's going on in Revelation. That what we're seeing in Revelation from chapter 1 through 8 is the fulfillment of the atonement ceremony because of the blood coming off the golden altar in heaven. Because on earth, it was only on the Day of Atonement that the blood was put on the golden altar. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it. Now the brazen altar outside, they put blood all the time. But the golden altar that was inside, that was right by the veil, only on the Day of Atonement would they sprinkle the blood. He shall make atonement upon it throughout the year, your generations is most holy unto the Lord. Every day, the high priest will go in to the holy place and minister. And so, where are we on God's timeline? Well, the clue is given in Revelation. Said, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you know, he sees a vision of Jesus. So where does he see Jesus? He's amongst the candlesticks. Well, where was the candlesticks? In the holy place. Right? In the holy place. So we have our high priest ministering every day in the holy place. The atonement ceremony, is the real one, is about to begin. Because he went daily, every day, into the holy place, but only once a year. So when I really believe when the rapture takes us up, we're going to be actually at the final atonement.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 4 starts, and there was a door opened in heaven. And I heard, as it were, the sound of a trumpet.
Come up
here.
Come
up here. I really believe we get to witness the atonement song. You know why? Because John sees these 24 elders. And you know what they are? Kings and priests. And they go on to say, thou hast redeemed us from the earth by thy blood. And we get to witness the atonement ceremony, the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. But the next time he looks at the lamb, it's no longer a lamb, it's become a lion. Don't weep, John. The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. We're closing this Sunday school study, but I want you to know that we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ the Lord. Whoever liveth, right now, he's by the candlesticks, which represent the church. He says, there are two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst. He's in the midst of the candlesticks, which is the church. And his presence is here. And his purpose right now, Hebrews 9, he entered in, he ever liveth to make intercession. The very first verse I started with, it says, to make perfect, hallelujah, them that are sanctified, separated. So if you put on the covering, and you've been washed, you've been baptized, then you can come boldly. Not only that, the covering is free. I go through 4 or 5 of these a day. Every time I have to buy, I can't keep using the same one, I get a new one free. Everything is provided free. Because when he said it is finished, the veil ripped in two. The blood hit the earth, the rocks rent. And when he arose, he said, all power. Let's say all power. Heaven and earth is given unto me. Hallelujah. We're going to close the service. I know the Lord has more word for us today, but I want you to leave listening to that first verse. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit said to the churches. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for showing up at Ramona, for speaking to our hearts, oh God, for lifting our spirits to know that we have an intercessor and an advocate with the Father. Lord, that you are the greatest that ever lived, and you ever lived to make intercession. Lord, we ask you right now, let your Holy Spirit fill this atmosphere right now. Touch our hearts, change our direction, lift our spirit, Lord God. You are the lifter of the right hand. Help us to understand that you are never defeated, oh God, and that we will have victory through you. We thank you and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise offering this morning. God bless you. Shake someone's hand. Greet our visitors. We'll be starting our second service at 15:15. God bless you in Jesus' name.